Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Would you please pray with me? Thank you.
The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So everybody smile and be thankful for today, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you've given us so much to be thankful for today. We praise your name. You've given us rain. We have all these sweet children here at Second Mile. We have beautiful worship music. So, Lord, we thank you for your blessings for today. Father, there's so much going on in this world today, and we have people right here in our congregation, people right in our midst in Clarksville that are going to be put in harm's way in right now and in the coming days and weeks. We're going to pray for all our military, Lord, that may be deployed. We're going to pray, Father, for the families that remain here. Help us at Second Mile to be a support to them. Father, use this church, Lord, in the community of Clarksville to share the good news of Jesus to all those around us. And now, Lord, we're going to ask you to bless Cal Hampton as he brings your word to us through his message. Billy and also the youth teachers as they're teaching. And we lift all these things up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Listen to the Lord this morning and follow his leadership. I was going to move this segment of the service to the after the response time, but we have a family in our church that's being deployed. The mother of this family, Sam and Alex Postel, are both in the military, full-time military soldiers, and they have this wonderful little boy. He's got the greatest nickname of any kid I've ever heard, T-Rex. And so I had asked Alex and Sam, could we pray over you all? She's being deployed. She's leaving a week from Tuesday and going to be stationed somewhere else for 6 months. And it's now can you imagine, mamas, what that's going to be like? Thank God we've got some wonderful grandparents. And Sam's still going to be here. So y'all come. We want to pray over y'all. The whole family, just come on. And we want to spend some time praying. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And anytime we pray, we're honoring God here on Sundays. And so y'all just come on. Now, where's all our prayer warriors? Come on, deacons. Come on, prayer team. Come on. Whenever I mention prayer, your radar ought to go up right then. All right? We're going to pray over this. Where's T-Rex? Oh, babe. Well, we'll have to go back there and lay hands on him, too. We love y'all. Y'all have been such a great addition to this church. Y'all have both picked up the ball and run with it, and you've been serving here, and our hearts go out to you. We love you guys, and so we're going to pray for God's protection over you and for God's strength and patience and wisdom for Sam and these wonderful grandparents. They're going to really step up to the plate and help take care of Theodore. So let's pray together. It's okay. All of you can pray out loud if you want to. It's all right. pleasing. Oh God, just bear with him. Oh God, bless him. Hallelujah. I pray for Sam, God, that you touch him and lead him and guide him and direct him. That your blessings would be upon him, God. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. Hallelujah to you. Pray for Sonia and grandparents, God, as they do whatever. Lord, as we were watching that CBS News report Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, I'm so thankful for the Screaming Eagles and the 101st Airborne Division. God, our soldiers are stepping up to the plate. And many of them right now are over in Romania, probably heading into Ukraine. So while Alex isn't going to be stationed there right now, we just pray for her safety. And God, that you would supernaturally guide her and give her strength and wisdom, Lord. Is I can't imagine what it'd be like for a sweet mama like this who loves her child with all of her heart, mind, body, soul, and strength to have to say goodbye to him for about 6 months. So we pray you'd meet all of her needs. And God, I pray for Sam. Thank you for a godly husband. Thank you for this couple that loves serving our country together. And I lift up Sam to you. He's going to need an extra measure of your grace for these next 6 months. Lord, it'd basically be a single dad for a while. And I pray, Lord, that you would just touch him and give him the grace that he needs. And God, I thank you for T-Rex, for Teddy, Lord. What a blessing that little baby boy is to this church family. And I pray that that you would minister to him and fill his sweet little heart and help him to know, God, that his mama's okay. And so I pray for him and thank you for Sonia and her sweet husband, God, as they step up to the plate to help minister to this wonderful child and this family in their time of need. And God, help Second Mile Church to be all that we need to be to support the Pastels. Thank you for them. Thank you for bringing them our way. We love you, Lord. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for answering prayers. In Jesus' sweet name we ask it. All God's children said, amen. 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 We love y'all. While they're returning to their seats, let me give a quick plug for Wednesday nights. We prayed over 540 prayers Wednesday night. Well, goodness gracious, let me go over here and tell y'all. On Wednesday night, 545, I believe it was, prayers went up to the Lord on Wednesday night. God's doing a fresh work on Wednesday evening. I want to invite all of you to come. We've had 227 answered prayers. 227 answered prayers. And we're trying to do things a little bit differently on Wednesday nights. We're setting the atmosphere and the mood for this house to become a house of prayer. That's what the vision is. That's what we're trying to get to. And we want to become a praying church. I know a lot of you have prayer closets and that kind of thing at the home. And that's what you need to do. But let me tell you, corporate prayer is huge. When the people of God come together, all of heaven listens. And so make plans to be here on Wednesday night at 6. Look at your neighbor and say, make those plans. All right. If you've got a Bible, would you stand to your feet as we're in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're in God's perfect 10. And what an amazing, amazing study it's been for me as I've reconnected with the Ten Commandments. You know, Jesus shrunk the ten into two and said we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is likened to the first. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That covers all ten of them. And so we've been moving individually through God's perfect ten. And how many of you know Jesus is God's perfect ten? Amen. Amen. So let's look at the seventh commandment this morning. Now, I don't know what translation you've got, and it's okay. But my translation says, you shall not murder. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Your translation may say, thou shalt not kill. And that's okay too. We're going to unpack this for God's glory if we can get the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, bless and honor and exalt and lift up your word here this morning. As we rightly divide the word of truth, oh God, would you convict our hearts? Would you help us, as only you can, to say yes this morning to this commandment? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've read verse 13 instead of verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. I guess we could go back, you know, and preach that one again. By the way, I was at Billy and Carol Walker's house Friday night for their home group meeting, and we talked about the sixth commandment, and it was an amazing time. Billy's like me. He starts on time and ends on time, and we went 20 minutes late. So, great. If you're not a part of a home group meeting, do that. Get in one. We've got them on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Thursday night, and Friday nights. It's a good thing. Let me read it again here. You shall not commit what? You shall not commit adultery. All right. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. You can tell I've got 1,000 things rolling through my mind and my spirit this morning. Okay, guys. Everybody zero in. All right. Everybody in one place. Now listen. If you don't get anything else, get this morning. The word adultery, the Old Testament word adultery, in its most basic root form, is talking about any kind of sexual immorality. Okay? That's what we're talking about. And the seventh commandment may be the most disregarded, disrespected commandment in our history here in this nation right now. And the seventh commandment was given to us to sanctify the family, to give chastity to the marriage, and to protect the society. And any violation of this commandment, I'm here to tell you, wrecks and ruins lives. It destroys families and homes. It brings disease and a host of other issues, and it can even, breaking this command can even bring death. And so we're looking at a tough commandment this morning, and if we can get a little Holy Ghost help, God can make it real clear for us this morning. Now, you know, how many of you have heard the old saying, you reap what you sow? And we are reaping what we have sown since the sexual revolution of the 60s. I mean, this issue is rampant in our society. Sexual immorality is everywhere. We're bombarded with it. From the commercials you see, from the advertisements that you look at, from the books and the magazines and the journals that you're reading, from the television shows, to the movies that you're watching and seeing, to the social media, the internet, websites, all of that stuff encourages sexual immorality. I'm giving y'all some gospel truth right now. If you don't believe me, you just start watching some of the commercials on television. Sex sells, and it's rampant. And we're being bombarded with the violation of the seventh commandment. Now, our society basically says this. You know, sex and everything that goes with it is the most natural desire that we got. It's just like eating and sleeping. And it's okay to satisfy that desire any old way you want to, with anyone you want to. And society has also figured out this, though, that there's some real repercussions for sexual immorality. There's some penalties. But rather than coming back to the standard of God's Word and obeying what the Word of God says, You know what we've done? Our culture says basically, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. It's all right. If it feels good, do it. But here's how you can do it safely. Y'all following with me now? Y'all tracking with me? Safe sex. So we're going to look at this commandment this morning. And we're going to look at sexuality. We're going to look at immorality. And bless God, we're going to wind up on purity. Okay? So we want to look at those three big major issues of the seventh commandment. First of all, the seventh commandment deals with sexuality. Now, I hope you got your Bible today or your Bible app or whatever it is you look at Scripture with. Turn with me to Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27. As Brother Roger used to say, I love hearing those pages. Genesis 1:27. When you get there, say amen. If you don't have a Bible, say, oh me. That's what I thought. Okay. Genesis 1:27 says, so, now watch this. Listen to this. Listen. Lean in. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. Amen. Say it with me. Male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there's our sexuality right up front. God created it and gave it to us. It's a great gift, our sexuality. God created them male and female. And so I want to say a few things this morning along the lines of sexuality. First of all, I want to talk about sexual identity. Say, uh-oh. Now, God is the one who created sexuality. God is the one who came up with sexual identity. And I know it's a struggle today, and you pray for your pastor, your preacher, whoever I am to you, that I'd be loving and kind and yet be truthful. And I want to tell you, if we had preached the seventh commandment the last 50 years, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. So sexual identity was created by God. Now, there's a lot of imperatives all through the Scripture about our sexual identity. Did you know that? There's a lot of them. Now, I just want to go to one, if that's okay. We could go to a bunch of them, but there's a lot of imperatives that have to do with our sexual identity. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Again, let me hear those pages. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 5. This is going to cause some consternation for a few of us, but it's okay. This is the Word of God. God created them what? Male and female. All right. Here's Deuteronomy 22, 5. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord our God. Well, that's Old Testament. What in the world does that statement mean? It's the Bible. And so God created us male and female. And what the Scripture's saying in here is Jack ought to look like Jack and Jill ought to look like Jill. There should be no blurring of our sexual identity. That's what the Word of God says. And any blurring of our sexual identity is sin. I love y'all enough to tell you the truth. This is what the Word of God says. And we've gotten so far away from it, it feels foreign today. And so any blurring of our sexual identity is sin. Now, let me just say this. We're going to touch on some of this stuff a little bit later on. But our culture has moved on from same-sex and gay marriage and homosexual. We've moved on past that. You understand that? I mean, it's accepted now, right? I mean, it's a done deal with our culture. It shouldn't be like that with the church, but I'll address those issues and some more. But the number one defining issue right now for the church is how we address this issue of transgenderism. And we're going to address it right now. We've got major companies in the United States that are trying to move us away from male and female, our sexual identity. Disney, the Disney Corporation, is huge. And the big words for them now are gender neutrality. Gender neutrality. They're dropping names at Disney like boy, girl, male, and female. Help us, Jesus. And the Biden administration passed legislation here a while back. And do y'all know what we celebrated on March of 31st this year as a nation? Transgender Day. God said, I created them male and female. And you see this almost everywhere you go. Television ads, you know, I don't watch much on television anymore except, Dinah can tell you, ball games, sporting events, and the news. And I just get mad when I watch the news now. So the commercials on the sports channels, we're being indoctrinated by the LGBTQ crowd. I mean, just watch them. And so this indoctrination into gender neutralism is all around. We're going to Israel. This came up. Passports now. When you get a passport, there's a place where you can just simply put an X rather than male or female. Healthcare laws have been passed so that you can have a sex change operation. Did y'all know that from 2016 to 2019, child mastectomies have risen 389%? Doesn't sound good, does it? Now, our kids today in school are being indoctrinated. And I'm just old school enough and of the opinion and biblical enough to say, you know what? Our kindergartners ought to go to school for an education, not indoctrination. Amen. Give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So, God created them. Y'all know there's a war going on right now, right? And I'm not talking about Russia and Ukraine. I'm talking about here in our culture. There is a war going on. And I don't care how I do care, but wherever you land on this issue, if you call yourself a man or a woman of God, if you're a child of God, you have got to line up with what the Word of God says. And we don't elevate our experience above what Scripture says. Whatever the Word of God says, that's the bottom line for us. Shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, by the way, 100 years from now, if they were to dig old Brother Cal up and take a little bit of my DNA, guess what? They'll know if I was male or female. Same way with you. Because God created them male and female. Now, let's go back to biology class, okay? You've got 23 chromosomes. I think most of you do. And you've either got XX chromosomes or you've got XY chromosomes. And if you've got double X chromosomes, guess what? You're a female. Girls, shout hallelujah. And if you've got XY, hallelujah, you're a man. You're a male. Guys, come on, say amen. Amen. It's not rocket science. You're either male or female. God created us that way. That's our sexuality. And it's not a choice that you make. It's not an alternative issue. Amen. God created you male or female. Humor always helps. This came from one of our church members. We were on a little excursion, a little trip, about 10 of us. And Bubba, you'll remember this. I'm not going to give out his name now. But I talked to him this morning. I said, is it okay for me to tell the story you told? He said, yeah. And this cat from our church has a nephew up in Chicago. He's in the Navy. And they were in a class, taking this class. I forget what kind of class it was, but they were taking a test and getting ready to take a test. And his nephew is sitting right beside another female soldier. And they got to talking about this stuff that we're talking about. And she said to him, she said, you know, I really do identify as a man. And our church member's nephew said, well, I identify as an Apache helicopter. And she got so tore up, she flunked the test. Brothers and sisters, we've lost our way, have we not? I mean, now I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking. Well, Brother Cal, what about some of these folks? You know, there's some males that have some feminine qualities and tendencies. Hey, there's three or four wives in here that can whip their husbands. Don't ask me who they are. Anyways. And there's, you know, anyways, what? And then there's some women who have masculine qualities. You know, I'm not oblivious to that. But I've done some studying, and here's what I believe happened. Back in the day when Adam and Eve fell into sin, our gene pool fell into sin. And now our genes have the genetic makeup to have a pull or a bent in this direction. Y'all with me so far? Now, if you're not with that, go to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Are y'all there? All right. Look at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. That's what's happened to our nation. We've been deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to verse 11. And such were some of you. Past tense. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so there's hope. There's a way out of all this stuff. There is. And His name is Jesus. And I'll tell you, I've heard this until I'm almost sick. I was born that way. Well, I'm going to settle that right now. We were all born that way. We're all born into sin. We're born liars. We're born gossipers. We're born adulterers. We're born fornicators. We're born homosexuals. Our first birth was defective. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Our first birth was bad. But bless God, you can be made whole. I believe the Bible, Jesus said you shall know the truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. You can live above these circumstances. You can live a celibate life. You can live a life that pleases God. With Jesus, you can do anything. But in order to get Jesus, you've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. Not just up here. down here. Can y'all tell I'm passionate about this? Jesus, I mean, if he'll help me, he'll help anybody. I didn't struggle with some of this stuff, but I struggled with a lot of other stuff. And the Bible, by the way, I've had a lot more trouble as a pastor with adultery than I have homosexuality. Hello? So our sexual identity was created by God. And I want to say a word about, there's a spiritual dimension to our sexuality. There's nothing dirty or ugly about the way God created sex. We got a hold of it and made it nasty and filthy. Nothing dirty about the way God created. It's a wonderful gift from God. Created by God for a husband and a wife in a biblical marriage. I'm going to be in trouble this week. There is something spiritual, though, about the marriage bed. Look, we're already in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Does that sound familiar? The two shall become... There's something spiritual about our sexuality and about the marriage bed. But he, verse 17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Now listen to this. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. There's something awful about the sin of sexual immorality. It fractures that one flesh relationship that God set aside for the marriage bed. I mean, it can destroy a human being. The marriage bed is where a spiritual union takes place. And that couple becomes one. If y'all have ever been in a marriage, that I always talk about this one flesh relationship. And that's consummated in the marriage bed. And so when one partner steps out on the other, man, it breaks, it fractures that one flesh relationship. It's a sin against your own body. It's a sin against the Lord. And then that person becomes just a thing to be used and abused. You know, God created sex to be something beautiful and something sacred. And he created sex to... give us not only mutual fulfillment, but propagation. And I believe the commandment still fits. We're to be fruitful and multiply. Our only hope in this nation is for godly parents to raise up godly children. Hello? So, here we are. look at verse chapter 7. Did I finish all that? No, I didn't. Flee sexual immorality, verse 18. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God? Say amen. Amen. And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, Paul said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Uh-oh. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. Now listen to this, gang. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. That'd settle a lot of problems in the counseling room. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God expects us to enjoy the gift that he's given to us in the marriage bed between a husband and a wife. You see, God set up some boundary lines. And when we live our lives within those boundary lines, those rules, those regulate, then you live the abundant life that God created you to have. But it's when we get out of these boundary lines that we get messed up. So anyways, if a couple does decide to abstain for a time for prayer and fasting, I think the scripture has do it for a short time because Satan's alive and well. Right? So, there it is. The seventh commandment begins with sexuality. He made them what? Well, it's kind of winding down. He created them how? That's the bottom line. Sexual identity. And there's a spiritual dimension with our sexual identity. I need about another 35 or 40 minutes to unpack this. So I tell you what, we're going to have a two-part sermon. Y'all come on back next Sunday. We're going to talk about immorality, and then we're going to talk about purity. Okay? So we've done some table dressing and table setting this morning. But let me ask you, God created our sexuality for our mutual enjoyment in its proper boundaries. He created it that way. And then so that we could propagate the earth and our country and our city. That's part of God's creation plan. And so let me just move from this talk about sexuality. Are you fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life today? Are you? Do you know why God placed you here? Do you know why God put you here? He created you for His glory. Is your life bringing Him honor and praise and glory? Do people look at you today and this morning and know that guy belongs to God? That woman belongs to the Lord. Not, oh, he's a Christian. No. That's the popular thing to say today, by the way. Is your life a testimony? I'm not asking you, are you perfect? None of us are. Only one is. I'm asking, to the best of your ability, are you living out the reason that God created you for? Andrew, you come. Let's pray. Father, we don't even begin to claim that we're right with you 24/7. The Bible says we sin sometimes and don't even know it and recognize it until the Spirit of God tells us. And Lord, it is the desire of my heart and my life at the stage that I'm in. I want to finish well. I want you to be proud of me. And I want to bring honor and praise and glory to you by the way that I live my life. I want to fulfill your creative plan and purpose for my life. I want to be and do the kind of man you've created me to be. And I believe there are others in this church house this morning that feel the same way. Oh God, would you do a work here at Second Mile Church? Would you do a work in our families? Oh God, help us. Don't let the evil one destroy our families any longer. Help us to be faithful to your word and to this seventh commandment. And so Lord, maybe this needs to be a time of praying for one another. Praying for our families. Praying for our young people. Praying for our children. God, that they'd not be deceived, that they would not be indoctrinated with a lie. And Lord, the only way we can whip this is if we have your spirit. taken up residence in our spirit. I believe there's some folks here today that have just been playing a game. They believe with their head but not in their heart. They need to be born again, need to be saved. If you're wondering about that, you probably do need Jesus. And here's how you get Him. You're under conviction about your sin and you want to turn from it. You want to walk away from it. You want to forsake it. And you believe deep down in your heart this morning that Jesus is the only way, that He is the Son of God, and that He can forgive you. And right now, where you sit, if you'll ask Him, Lord, please forgive me. Save me from my sins. Call on Him right now to save you. He already knows what you need to do. That's right. Cry out to Him. Call on Him to save you. Now, if you've done that this morning, I want you to be bold enough to just raise your hand and wave at me. Nobody's looking around. Anybody in this church house this morning, you just prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God bless you. Anybody else? You just now prayed for the first and only time that you really need to get serious about your walk with God. I prayed to receive. Anybody else? Just raise your hand and wave at me. All right. Father, most of us in here are probably... the only ones that really know that I'm saved is me and you. But I think there's a bigger issue here right now for believers. We have got to start living in a way that pleases You. We have got to be holy, even as You are holy. Because there's a dying and dark and lost world watching us. Oh God, help us. Help our families. Help our teenagers. Help our children. Help the grandparents to live in a way that's pleasing to You. I ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, for the one that raised your hand, we want to get some stuff in your hands. We want to give you just some getting started right material. And if you'll come forward, we'll get one of our deacons to share with you. And maybe set up a time for whatever we need to do with counseling or baptism or church membership or blah, 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 blah. And you can come forward and do that. We'll get that took care of today. And then you can leave here with confidence and peace and all of that. And the rest of you just need to come. If God's laid somebody on your heart, guess what? This is a house of prayer. This is a place to pray. This is a place to seek the face and the presence of God. Oh, God, touch us. Pour out Your Spirit on us. Kevin, dim those lights again, would you? Lord, bless this time of response and invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.